I invite you to take your Bible with me back over to Proverbs 18. We read a portion there this morning, Proverbs 18. You'll notice there, the Bible tells us about several things in portion we read, beginning in verse 21 of Proverbs 18. It talks about death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Also, notice verse 22, it talks about whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Amen to that. Verse 24 particularly says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I believe that that friend that sticketh closer than a brother is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. This morning, we're going to be talking about, as it's that time of year when often we are thinking about relationships. I would like to share this morning keys to nurturing healthy relationships. Keys to nurturing healthy relationships. These verses here from 21 through 24 talk about some different aspects of relationships. Verse 21 about our words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we know that our words in a relationship can make or break. They can cut and hurt, or they can edify and minister grace. And so we know that our words are a critical aspect, and also being friendly, as verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And so in the few minutes we have this morning, I'd like you to first think about an important aspect of nurturing a healthy relationship. And, you know, this relationship that we're talking about, it's really quite broad, because a lot of the principles could apply to a marriage. They can apply to a friendship. They can apply even to a parent-child relationship, and others. We could talk about relationships. Many of these biblical aspects are healthy for all kinds of relationships, even our relationship with God. And so first of all, I want you to understand that in order to have a healthy relationship, we need appropriate communication and honesty. Number one, appropriate communication and honesty. Every one of these points is kind of a couplet. So communication and honesty. Notice Ephesians and chapter 4, verse 15 tells us, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. If death and life are in the power of the tongue, and if communication is important, we need to make sure our communication is truthful and in love, so that we are having communication, but it is also the right kind of communication. Sometimes in friendship situations or classmates or something like that, you can have, especially amongst teenagers and youth, it can be a real challenge, or even communications via social media, which is obviously quite popular today. Not always is communication a good thing. Communication can be a bad thing. It can lead someone astray and into an unhealthy situation. It can damage someone's heart. It can be very hurtful and painful. And so just having communication isn't necessarily a good thing. We need to have appropriate communication, appropriate for the kind of relationship that it is. Let's think about marriage for a moment. In a marriage, it is critical to have good communication about just daily challenges, daily life, that we talk with one another, that we care about one another, are concerned and speak honestly, that we build trust in that relationship, that when we're away, we are communicating and caring about what's going on in the other person's life. You know, when a couple is dating prior to marriage, often they're experts at communication and staying in touch. But the tendency in humanity is once we are married, that communication can begin to break down. And we can sort of be living two separate lives without loving communication, caring communication. So our communication is important. The Bible tells us to have communication with God without ceasing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is communication with God. And so God says, don't let there ever be a breakdown in communication with me. If we are going to have a healthy relationship with the Lord, we need to maintain communication, that we have continual access, continual, not that we're always praying, as in, you know, never talking to anyone else or never getting to our work or whatever, but that we have an open line, that as difficulties come up, as concerns come up, we are talking to God about those things. We are our heart is in tune with God. And so we're praying without ceasing. We're continually depending on God. We're not fainting in our relationship, in our walk, in our communication with God. And so that's God's desire. I would like you now to flip over to Philippians chapter 3. In the New Testament here, Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And would you notice verse 10? This is the Apostle Paul that God is using to write these words. And he is a mature Christian at this time. He has been saved for more than a decade, and even maybe two decades as he writes the book of Philippians. And notice what he says here in verse 10 of chapter 3. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The phrase that sticks out to me in verse 10 is when the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him. That I may know him. The Apostle Paul knew God. The Apostle Paul had a relationship with God. But his desire was to go deeper. His desire was to nurture that relationship. And here's the thing about relationships. Relationships are living. They are like a living organism, okay, that requires nourishment. You see, if something is living and you don't feed it, it starves and deteriorates quickly. It needs sustenance. And that's the way a relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, it needs that interaction. It needs that communication we're kind of talking about right now, but it needs that care as well, that nurture to build. And so our relationship with God, the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him. Paul was like, I want to know more of him. I want to go deeper with him. I want to stay in good touch, that we would, that our relationship would grow. That I may know him and his power in my life, Paul says. The fellowship of what he has gone through for me. Paul desired to know the Lord in a deeper, greater way. And that should be our desire in our homes with our children, that I may know them, that I can touch the heart of my child, that I can develop a strong bond. That's challenging. It's challenging for a father to give that focus, to recognize the awesome opportunity of that parent-child relationship. Communication is key. It's critical to a healthy relationship. And so, the Bible tells husbands in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, it tells husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. God wants us to have good communication. God wants husbands to know their wives, to grow in a loving, nurturing relationship with them. I would like to draw your attention to what it says in Colossians chapter 3. We're in Philippians. Colossians is just the next book. And chapter 3, please notice verse 8 of Colossians 3. It says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Now notice in verse 8, notice those are forms of communication, but those are not good things. Anger and wrath, malice, and it just comes right out and says filthy communication. Notice verse 9, it says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." You know what will hurt relationships greatly, almost more than anything, is lying, deceiving, whether it's a spouse or even a child or a friend. Lies, being deceptive, misleading, damages relationships. And so when we think about communication, a key to nurturing a healthy relationship is appropriate communication, edifying communication that is truthful and in love. And so that we would build trust in a relationship, that we would construct that which is a blessing. All right? And so that's the first point there I'd like to share this morning. And secondly, I'd like you to understand that in order to nurture a healthy relationship, we need biblical boundaries and respect. Biblical boundaries and respect. Proverbs chapter 4. Notice verse 23. The Bible says here, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The idea of keep is the idea of guard, to protect. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. You know, we need boundaries in relationships. Especially I think of friendships of young people or older that for that matter. But many times it's a challenge for young people. They don't have appropriate boundaries in a relationship, and they go too far, or they let someone else go too far in their lives, and it's unhealthy. And so we need healthy boundaries. We need biblical boundaries. And God says to guard our heart. To guard our heart. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Notice what it says in verse 24. It says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth." That's a corrupt, perverse mouth. And it says, "Perverse lips put far from thee." And so, as we think about friendships, if we have a relationship with someone and what they're doing, what they're talking about is froward, it's wicked, it's ungodly, it's not right, it's dirty, we need to cut off that relationship. That is not healthy. God says to guard your heart. God says to put far from you the froward mouth, the perverse lips, right? And it says in verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee." In other words, we need to keep focus on doing what's right, doing the will of God for our life. Verse 26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." We need to consider, hey, what direction am I going? You know what? If you have a friend that does not want to follow God, and you continue to try to keep a major connection there, the likelihood is they're going to drag you down. They're going to distract you from the right path. And so we need to guard unhealthy relationships. We need to have boundaries. God says, "Put far from thee perverse lips, a froward mouth." notice verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so there need to be boundaries in relationships. I think of a good illustration of a bad situation in the Bible, and that's in 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 13, 2 Samuel and chapter 13. Noticing verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Abnon, the son of David, loved her. Okay, and we'll read verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister. It was actually his half-sister, just to be accurate here. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard to do anything to her. So here's Amnon. He is, what could you say? He has a crush on his half sister. Okay, and he wasn't. You know, he's dealing with these feelings, which are not the best in this kind of situation. But he didn't have enough. You know, he didn't have enough initiative on his own to do something wrong. But the Bible says, and here's the aspect I want to draw out in verse 3. It says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. You know, the story would have been very different. Amnon ended up listening to the counsel of this bad friend, Jonadab, and he ended up raping his sister Tamar, which is a very sad thing, and it was a horrible situation. Think about if Amnon had a good friend, right? If Amnon had made some choices to put far from him perverse lips, and he had made some choices to seek out a friend that wanted to do right, a friend that would be a good support to him in a situation like this. And so friendships are critical. We need boundaries. We need to put away from us those friends that are doing wrong, that are leading us down the wrong path, they're going to actually give us bad counsel, and they're going to lead us astray. There are friends who will try to get you to drink alcohol. There are friends that will offer you drugs. There are friends that will bring pornography. There are friends that will invite you over for corrupt movies or whatever the case may be, and the list could go on. Friends that tell dirty jokes. Those are friends that we should distance ourselves from. We should make choices to say, hey, I can, as a Christian, maybe they need Christ. I can have some influence in their life, but we need to guard that situation, and we need to put those friends at a distance, because they can't be our best friend, because they will drag us down. And so boundaries in relationships, and respect. The Bible talks a lot about respecting others and valuing others. That we should esteem others better than ourselves. Notice Philippians chapter 2. Let's notice verse 2. Philippians 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Esteem other better than themselves. In other words, we ought to value other people. In a marriage, a husband needs to value his wife, needs to value her perspective. needs to value her needs and take that seriously and hold it in high regard. And so when we have biblical boundaries and respect, we need to respect other people in a relationship. Sometimes we get very selfish in a relationship, and we're only there for what we can get out of it instead of actually respecting and valuing the other person and having a mutual blessing. Notice here the Bible says in verse 2, as the Apostle Paul is writing here, of course he's writing to, you know, the Christian, the church setting of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, which should be our best friends, really. Verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, if I recognize that God has a purpose and plan for my life, I need to look for others who I can have a relationship with who also want to live for God, who we're like-minded. That doesn't mean we think the same about everything, but that we have a unified direction, that we want to honor God, that we love the Lord, that we are going to serve God in our life. Those are relationships we should nurture and value. So biblical boundaries. Number 3, I'd like to talk this morning about nurturing healthy relationships. Not only do we need appropriate communication and honesty, not only do we need biblical boundaries and respect, but number 3, we need genuine care and selflessness. Genuine care and selflessness. You think of a marriage. We need care for the needs of our spouse. You think of being selfless, willing to serve, not just when I feel like it, but giving of ourselves. That is important for a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship isn't that each person does 50%. A healthy relationship is where each person does 100%. And there's a togetherness. There's a care one for the other. There's a selflessness. In a friendship, that is a good thing as well, where there's a genuine care. The Bible talks about David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan were good friends. That's well known. They became friends after David defeated Goliath. Jonathan was the king's son, and they became very good friends. And in fact, I'm reading from 1 Samuel 18, verse 3. The Bible says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. There was a care between David and Jonathan. And chapter 23 of 1 Samuel, verse 16 says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan went out when David was actually running from Saul, and Jonathan snuck out there and he went out into the woods where David was, and the Bible says he strengthened his hand in God. That's a good friend. A friend who will come when you're in trouble, come when you're in a difficult situation, and will actually encourage you in the right way, encourage you in the Lord, will help you to stand true. I think back to Amnon, and he had a friend, Jonadab, I should say. You know what? If Amnon had had a good friend, a godly friend, a friend that wanted to do right, he could have actually found strength in that situation, strength to do right and to turn away from the wrong that he was being tempted with. And so we need to have genuine care and selflessness. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, the Bible says that we should not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. To love in deed and in truth. We ought to do that which would be a blessing to one another. So genuine care. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love suffereth long and is kind. It tells us that love is humble. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It thinketh no evil. It is not easily provoked. It seeketh not her own. So love is selfless. Love is kind. Love is caring. And we need to nurture that kind of care, genuine care, and selflessness to have a healthy marriage, a healthy friendship, a healthy relationship as a child and parent. And another aspect that I'll draw out here in keys to nurturing healthy relationships, not only communication and honesty, biblical boundaries and respect, genuine care and selflessness, but number four, tender-hearted forgiveness and grace. Tender-hearted forgiveness and grace. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If you're related to somebody, if you're in a relationship of any kind, friendship, parent, child, spouse, if you're in a relationship for any length of time, there are going to be challenges, offenses, hurts, difficulties to work through. And that's why we need to extend grace to one another. And the Bible says, be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We need to extend forgiveness when needed. We need to extend grace when someone's going through a trial. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times." A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. That doesn't mean a brother is born to fight. that could be true, but brother. But you know what? The Bible says a brother is born for adversity. In other words, that companionship to pull together to make it through when times are difficult. That's God's design of the family. That's God's design of friendships. That's God's desire for marriages. When times are tough, we don't fight and hate one another. We draw close. We love one another. We extend grace. We work together. That is God's desire. To build a healthy relationship, we need to work at good communication and honesty. To build a healthy relationship, we need to work on appropriate boundaries and respect. We need to work on genuine care for the other, not just our way, not just what we want, not just what we can get out of it, but caring for the other person, really caring about what's going on in their life, what their needs are, what their trials are, and serving, being selfless, not selfish, and then tender-hearted, extending grace. Grace is needed in every relationship. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect spouse, no perfect wife. You'll never find it. There's no perfect husband. We need grace to nurture that relationship. And all of us need that grace extended to us, and we need to be extending it to the other as well. So to build a healthy relationship, these are critical in that construction process, that nurturing process. In a parent-child relationship, there has to be that growing care and nurture and communication of that love, and forgiveness and grace extended as well. When I think about relationships, I think about how God has reached out to us. When we were unlovely, when we were a mess, He reached out to us. He gave us an amazing gift, the gift of Himself. He provided His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Jesus Christ loved us with an everlasting love. And with love, with those cords of love, the Bible says He drew us unto Himself. Love is powerful. Love is critical in our relationships. Loving communication. Loving respect. Loving service. Loving forgiveness. These are critical things. God has loved us. Have you recognized that? On this Valentine's Day, do you recognize that you are loved? The bulletin this morning tells us that He first loved us. Yes, and He did. Do you love Him? Have you opened your heart to the love of God? Have you trusted Him to cleanse you of your sin? Are you, like the Apostle Paul, nurturing that relationship with God, with communication, with listening to His Word, respecting Him, and cultivating your walk with God? I trust these principles have been an encouragement in your life, in your relationships. They will be as you apply them. Now let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank You so much for caring about us. Thank You for Your Word that gives these simple and yet critical instructions for us. Thank You that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, I thank You that You have called us Your friends. And I pray that You'd help us to walk in a way that is pleasing to You and that is faithful as a friend. Lord, I pray that You would encourage our relationships, be it a marriage. We need Your grace. Lord, I pray that You would just encourage healthy friendships in this church, that they would be edifying, that they would be encouraging in the right direction, that we would help one another to do right, to do the will of God, to think right. Lord, I thank You for this. And I also pray for the parent and child relationships. You'd help us as parents to really develop that strong bond with each of our children, that their hearts would be, that our hearts would be knit together, that we might nurture them in the things of the Lord, bringing up our children in the ways of God. Thank You, Lord, for this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.